Alright, then on to Kachu Rinpoche. I don't think you've heard of him. Kachu Rinpoche, yeah? Actually, I met Kachu Rinpoche before I met Khyentse Rinpoche. And at that time, when Khyentse Rinpoche was in the area, in Kalimpong, Darjeeling, and Sikkim, he was Khyentse Rinpoche's chief disciple. In fact, it was he who suggested I should ask Khyentse Rinpoche for tantric initiation. He said, you'll never get another chance like this. He is the greatest of all the living Nyingmapa lamas. Khyentse Rinpoche himself was an incarnate lama of Trukhu, and he was of Tibetan origin, I think southern Tibetan origin, and at that time he was the abbot of the Pema Yangtze Gompa in Sikkim. In Sikkim, they follow Kagyupa form of Tibetan Buddhism, also the Nyingmapa form of Tibetan Buddhism. And Pema Yangtze Gompa is the chief monastery of the Nyingmapas in Sikkim. It's also the royal monastery which performs all Buddhist functions, or did perform all Buddhist functions for the Maharaja. And Kachu Rinpoche was then the abbot, the Kenpo, the Dalai Lama. And it was in that connection that I first heard about him. I heard about him from a rather eccentric French woman, not Madame David Neer, who became a Buddhist nun. We used to call her Anila. Anila means something like Reverend Auntie, which is the polite form of address for nuns in Tibet. They're aunties. Yeah? So anyway, Anila told me how she'd met this Lama, this new Lama, in Sikkim. She had, I should explain, been ordained by Narga Rinpoche, but had become quite dissatisfied with him because, according to her, he wasn't teaching her fast enough. I used to say, well, look, Anila, he knows what he's doing, be patient. But, patience about the last thing she was willing to practice. In fact, she used to come to me for advice. I mean, she was about 45, I was only about 27 or 28, and here she was coming to me for advice. This very voluble, excitable, active, French woman. So one day she said, oh, Bhante, tell me, what should I do? Because she was very upset. She was always getting upset and quarreling with people and getting dissatisfied. And I was going to say tearing her hair, but she didn't have any of that. You were very red in the face and very irate. So what shall I do? So I said, Anila, you're doing very well. There's just one thing you've got to learn. Oh yes, what is it? I'll go and do it straight away. Just one thing. I said, you've got to learn to do nothing. Oh, she exploded. There's so much to do, so many books to study, all this washing up, all these animals to look after, I've got about 15 or 20 dogs and cats, my cave to keep clean, I've got to be electrified. Yes, she electrified her cave in the end. And telling me to do nothing, she really hits the roof. Anyway, that's by the way. It was from her I heard about Kachu Rinpoche. And she'd met him, she'd bumped into him in Sikkim. What happened was this: she was, just wandering in the jungle in Sikkim. She was in quite a distraught state and even had thoughts of suicide, as she often did. That's another story. Anyway, she came to a clearing. And sitting in that clearing, there was a monk, a lama. Of course, as I said, she was dissatisfied with Dharma Rinpoche. So she said, a new guru, how wonderful. So she went up to him and got into conversation because she could speak Tibetan. And he explained that he was the new abbot of Pema Yangtze Gompa. He'd just come down from Tibet to take charge of the monastery. But according to Tibetan custom, he had to enter the monastery on a certain auspicious day. That day hadn't quite come, so he was just waiting in this little clearing. He had a little tent. He was waiting for the day when he could make his official entry. So she said, this is wonderful, this is providential. Then he started asking her about herself. And but this was the custom of, who are you, who ordained you, etc. Well, she said, French woman, ordained by Dr. Rinpoche. And then he asked, well, what practice are you doing? What meditation practice? She said, well, I'm doing such and such. And he said, no, you're not. You haven't done that practice for 6 months. And it was true. She said she hadn't. She told me she hadn't done that practice that she had been given by Dr. Rinpoche for 6 months. So she was deeply impressed by him and became his disciple. In due course became dissatisfied with him. But anyway, that's another story. Huh? So having heard about him, I was quite keen on meeting him, and he did come down to Kalimpong, and we did meet. And I sometimes used to function as interpreter, not in Tibetan, which I didn't know, but in Nepali. He knew some Nepali, and I sometimes functioned as interpreter when he was visited by European seekers, people who were interested. And I remember there was an American couple wanted to meet him, so I invited him and I invited them for lunch. It was before I got to Bihara, it was another place I had. And they asked all sorts of questions, you know, just the way Americans do. Yeah? They asked all sorts of questions, and he was replying to these questions, and some of the questions were quite tricky and about Nirvana. But then I suddenly realized he was replying to the questions without waiting for me to translate, and he didn't know a word of English. I could only conclude that, well, there was some sort of telepathy going on. I didn't have to translate. They asked their questions in English, and he, without knowing a word of English, he replied. And especially, I remember, there were questions about Nirvana. So that quite impressed me. Yeah? And as I said, it was he who urged me to ask Khyentse Rinpoche for a tantric initiation. And he often used to come and stay with me, both before and after I received those initiations. I must say that he was quite a meditator. I think out of all the, apart perhaps from one I'll mention later on, out of all my teachers, he was the one most committed to meditation. Yeah. He was a great meditator. And he relied very much on the inspirations he got from his meditation. He'd act on any inspiration which came to him in the course of his morning meditation. I remember one particular instance, he was staying with me, and this was when I had the Sriyana Bharatana Vihara. He was staying with me, and one morning at breakfast he said to me, Sangharakshita, in my meditation this morning I saw on the roof of your Vihara a banner of victory. We've got to put a banner of victory there. Hmm? You're one of these big Tibetan cylindrical banners of victory. He's seen it in his meditation, it had to be acted on. So he went off to the bazaar, saw the carpenter, got the wooden frame made, went to the cloth merchant, got the different coloured silks, then went to the tailor, had it all stitched together, then put it up himself, yeah, on the roof of the Vihara with all the necessary little ceremonies and offerings. And there it was, there it remained until I left Kalimpong. And that was very typical of him. Huh? He'd see things in his meditation and he'd act upon them. After I'd been given these initiations by Khyentse Rinpoche, I was, as it were, handed over to Khachu Rinpoche. And he, so to speak, took charge of me. And he gave me the four foundation yogas. He started me on those. He also gave me the Padmasambhava initiation and various other initiations. I must say that though he gave me these initiations, he remained very much a friend. He was, by nature, a very cheerful, very lively, very unassuming person, sort of very warm-hearted, but he was a bit rough, if you know what I mean. He wasn't very polished, like most of my other teachers. Not very elegant, a bit rough and ready, but very good-hearted, very warm-hearted, very generous, very communicative. Yeah? And with a rather earthy, sense of humour, but deeply, very deeply devoted to Khyentse Rinpoche and to the Nyingmapa tradition. And I remained in touch with him until I left Kalimpong. Some of you may have seen his picture in the Life magazine, because I've mentioned the Maharaja of Sikkim. I knew two Maharajas of Sikkim. The last one, who succeeded to his father, you may know, married an American lady, Hope Cook. Any of you remember this? And there was a big controversy about it, and the government of India wasn't very happy, all that sort of thing. But anyway, after his father's death, the Crown Prince became the new Maharaj, and his wife became the Maharani. There was a big religious ceremony, a sort of coronation, and he, as the head lama of the royal monastery, performed the ceremonies which were featured in Life magazine, possibly just thought she was American, and he, Kachu Rinpoche, appears in his big red pandit cap. Well, if you looked over the files of the old Life magazine, I don't know whether it's still being published, you could find it. But anyway, I remained in touch with him, and he died some years ago in Sydney at Penlong. So that's cultural impression.